Okay, Senate Transportation will come to order at 1:40. We have Senator French, Senator Cowder, Senator Huggins, Senator Kukish will not be here today, and Senator Terrio will be joining us. Today, we're going to look at Senate Bill 271 for information and potential comments. No intention to move it anyplace. So do I have a motion to move it before the committee?
I move.
And moved by Senator Cowder. Any objections? Okay. So will be adopted by the committee for as a working bill. Deputy Commissioner McKinnon, you ready? Okay, please. This is a new concept, right? We're one of five states. Is that about right?
That's correct. Thank you, Senator Huggins. For the record, and members of the committee, for the record, I'm John McKinnon, Deputy Commissioner of Transportation for Highways and Public Facilities. With me is Peter Putzier from the Department of Law, who represents the department on a number of issues. Also with the department is Bill Bollard, Statewide Environmental Coordinator, and Mary Soroki, Special Assistant to the Commissioner. I don't want to go through the entire fact sheet, which I believe you folks have, and read it word for word, but I'll just touch on some of the important things. With the passage of Safety Lou in August of last year, it included a NEPA delegation pilot program for five states only: Alaska, California, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Texas. And under this program, the five states are eligible to apply for delegation of the NEPA responsibilities from the Secretary of Transportation. The state may also apply for a delegation of some or all of the Secretary's review and consultation under other federal environmental laws, but primarily it's for NEPA. The scope of this delegation will be determined through an application to the Secretary and execution of a memorandum of understanding. The time frame is that this is a six-year pilot program from the date of signing of Safety Lou. We're already 6 months into that. In fact, it was signed on August 10th, so we're getting into the second half of the first year of it. So unless this by statute, this pilot terminates on August 10th, 2011. And as part of this, the Secretary of Transportation is required to promulgate regulations that establish this delegation application. We don't know what those regulations are going to say. We don't know whether NEPA delegation will be a good thing to the state. The regulations could come out and say this is not again, and we would analyze it and say this is not a good thing. But we want to be in position so that if it is advantageous to the state, that we can move ahead and assume the NEPA responsibility. The state may not submit its application until the rulemaking is done. And once we submit an application, we have to solicit public comment on that. After the application is submitted and approved, the state and the Secretary of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration, enter into a memorandum of understanding how it is done. And once that MOU is executed, then delegation may proceed. But there's still a lot of work ahead of us. And like I said, we don't know what is going to come out of the rulemaking, but we want to be in position to take advantage of it when those rules come out, if they are an advantage to the state. Six-year pilot program, we're already 1/12 of the way through that. By the time the rules come out and we're ready to apply, we might be on the backside of 1 year into that. The opportunity to do this and accelerate the NEPA process for a number of our projects is there, and we want to be able to do that. So without getting into any more detail on this, we're happy to answer whatever questions you have on this.
Yeah, thank you. Let the record show that Senator Terrio has joined us. John, when we look at this, Have we coordinated with any of our counterpart states of the five that are going to be part of the pilot?
Senator Huggins, we are in regular communication with the other five states. It's our goal not to go in this by ourselves, but we're working with Fed Highways to determine what their rules are going to come down.
Right.
And we're all in this together, all the other states.
And my assumption is the intention, ever how good they are, is to streamline a process for the remainder of the states, assuming this pilot project works. Is that Is that accurate?
Senator Huggins, that is fairly accurate. If this is a successful program, there's a good probability of expansion.
Right. Now, from your experience base, what are the pluses we anticipate, given some reasonable regulations?
The pluses we anticipate, Senator Huggins, is first let me state that this is not a reduction in environmental protections. I mean, some people would automatically assume if the state is taking over the permitting, the NEPA, that, boy, we can do whatever we want to. We still have all of those federal rules to follow. The plus is that we have more control over the time frame of those rules. It's not unusual now for some of these environmental documents to sit on a desk somewhere for weeks or months. And when the state is doing that, responsible for that, it's easy to pick up a phone and move them along.
Right.
The environmental process on any project is one of the more time-consuming parts of that project, and it can hold it up years.
Right.
The goal is greater accountability in the state to the public and the elected officials, right, with the department, and a more streamlined process.
Right. So potentially we would have greater authority in the process, with given some responsibility that we figure that will give as good a product, but potentially for us to be able to do things with some degree of efficiency beyond what we've experienced in the past.
That's correct.
And that would be by time?
Yeah, time is where we would be saving. And like I said, Senator Huggins, there would be, without a doubt, no reduction in environmental protections as a result of this.
What does our legal minds think the implications are?
Mr. Chair, my name is Peter Putzier. I am with the Department of Law. As Mr. McKinnon has pointed out, there wouldn't be any change or lessening of the environmental protections. Basically, the state of Alaska would be standing in the shoes of the FHWA. So there wouldn't really be a change per se in how the law is applied. It would be giving us more, I guess, immediate control over it. In terms of parts of the bill that might concern you, that should be addressed, there is a requirement that was part of Safety Lou, and for the record, I'll just read that out once. It's the Safe, Accountable, Flexible, and Efficient Transportation Equity Act, a legacy for users. That's what Safety Lou was, and it was passed August 10th, 2005. A small part of that bill involved these sections that we're looking at. One of those sections required a waiver of 11th Amendment immunity. Now, I also don't think that should be of particular concern. The reason is NEPA is primarily a procedural statute. You're deciding different levels of environmental action, be that a categorical exclusion, an environmental assessment, environmental impact statement. And usually the challenges are in the lines of injunctive relief, trying to halt the process, or having a court tell you to go back and do something again. There is some potential exposure to attorney's fees, but that's stated up front in the bill because we're required to. What the bill says is that the Attorney General may decide to waive 11th Amendment immunity, and that was done. That language was chosen because of a potential separation of powers issue. Instead of the legislature saying shall, it simply authorized the Attorney General to make that waiver, and that's the reason we chose that language. So we've reviewed it. Department of Law does not perceive there to be any particular concerns that the state should have.
Now, the system that's being replaced here would have, in the NEPA process, the federal government was before liable. Is that correct? We were liable.
The federal government was liable.
We are now assuming the liability. Is that?
Senator Huggins, that's correct.
That make you nervous? We're assuming the liability?
Mr. Chair, as I explained, it's primarily a procedural statute, so more often than not, for example, someone would say instead of doing an environmental assessment, you should have done an environmental impact statement, and then the court will decide which process should have been followed or might kick the matter back and say you need to do additional studies, you need to consider other alternatives, you need to consider additional impacts. Those kind of rulings, I don't think, are a particular concern of the state.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Senator French?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since the will of the chairman is that the bill is going to stay in committee for a little while, I'd be interested in having someone just give me a sort of a shorthand definition of the numerous federal statutes that appear on page 2 of the bill. It's just thick with references to law that I'm not familiar with and don't have ready access to. It'd just be useful if I knew what, you know, it doesn't have to be a detailed description, but just sort of a thematic statement of what it is that we're referring to when we say assuming responsibilities under, you know, if that's all NEPA, just say that's NEPA, you know, and the filing of applications and so forth on throughout the rest of the bill would be just handy to my understanding of the bill.
Through the chair, Senator French, there are three primary references. Those are to 23 U.S.C. 325, 23 U.S.C. 326, and 23 U.S.C. 327. In a real nutshell version, 23 U.S.C. 325 involves recreational trails and transportation enhancement activities. At this point in time, I believe there's no intent, to my knowledge, by the state to adopt that authority, but a different administration might have a different philosophy of it. We put it in here because if we don't authorize it through legislation, essentially we lose the option to opt in at any point. 23 U.S.C. 326 is delegation of categorical exclusions. That's certain categories of projects are defined as not requiring an environmental impact statement, and that's just a list that you can find if you go to statute that will list certain projects that don't require any further analysis.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, what would those be while we're talking about exclusions? What sorts of projects would not need an environmental impact statement?
Senator French, through the chair, it would be a repaving project, a small reconstruction of a roadway. By far, most of what we do are categorical exclusions. We do about 150 of those a year. We do less than 10 environmental assessments a year, and on the average, start or complete two EISs a year.
So we're already, you say as far as that part goes, I mean, 325, you tell me you're not anticipating using. 326, you're telling me we're already doing those. So I guess I'm dying to find out what 327 is, because that's must be what we're all about.
Senator French, through the chair, let me correct that. We, in the overall scheme of things, we perform all the work for an EIS or an EA, either by the department or through consultants, primarily through the consultants. We do that with Federal Highways oversight. What NEPA delegation does is takes the oversight out of Federal Highways and puts it in headquarters of the department through a firewall, so that the oversight is within the department doing the same thing that Fed Highways presently does.
So forgive me for saying this back to you, but some of this is new to me, so I get it better if I just, you know, articulate it right away. What you're saying is that right now we're doing this work, but the feds are overseeing the work that we do. The bill is designed to get that oversight from the federal government over to the state government.
That's correct, sir.
And so if you just continue and tell me what 327 refers to.
Through the chair, Senator French, 327 then is the NEPA pilot program.
Okay. The fiscal note was prepared by the Department of Transportation, and there's one from DEC. Does the Department of Law have any concern about the expenses it's going to incur as it defends against these injunctions and so forth?
Through the chair, Senator French, there's a note in the DOT bill that indicates Department of Law anticipates adding one position. And it would probably be an attorney skilled in the area of environmental litigation and NEPA in particular. It's kind of a specialty field, and we don't currently do defense work in that area because it's the federal highway attorneys in San Francisco who are usually undertaking that defense. So we do anticipate needing one attorney to do that work, and we don't believe it would need more at this time.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, the suits that would incur as a result of our surrender of immunity, those suits would take place in federal court. And do you anticipate they'd be, I mean, my view is that they'd be brought by public interest litigants. Those are the kinds of people that would be suing to stop road projects worth the effort of stopping. And I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is the Kinnick Arm Bridge. You know, there's roots and anchors. You just don't want to see that built. So I'm just wondering whether we're not walking straight into a hornet's nest here and taking over the responsibility of defending what's likely to be a costly series of suits brought by, you know, environmental groups as the state government tries to build a necessary project like that.
Through the chair, Senator French, I believe that the threat of litigation would exist regardless whether we took over that responsibility. It would just be a different set of attorneys who would be defending it. I don't perceive that there would be additional time constraints or additional negative repercussions to the state. We would have, you know, we would have redoing the defense in-house, so to speak, within the state of Alaska. So I'm not sure if that's really, if it would be opening up a hornet's nest in the sense of requiring, you know, three or four attorneys. I don't believe that would probably be the case. Our best estimate after talking to counsel in San Francisco, that's counsel for FHWA, is probably one attorney would suffice.
And Senator French, if I might add, I don't believe, and please throw something at me, Bill, if I'm wrong on this, that Kinnick Arm or any ongoing environmental documents would be shifted over to the department. Those would continue in the way they're doing. This would be for new documents once the pilot was in place, MOU was executed, for new projects started.
So
we're off the hook.
Not on the drawing board or the blackboard or in any planning phase already would continue to stay under the sort of jurisdictional lines that have been established up till now. And this would only apply to new, brand new projects.
Senator French, through the chair, for new environmental documents that would be started after the execution of the MOA. And a little history, I believe in the last 20 years, the federal government has been sued on two environmental documents, Ileana and on Dalton Bridge. You're probably very familiar with that one now. That was an EA. We're refreshing that EA right now to make it comply. The Whittier Tunnel. We prevailed on both of those.
Mr. Putz here, I think, wants to say something.
Through the chair, Senator French, just one additional thing. Thank you. I guess I would also add, too, that if we foresee some particular project that will pose problems beyond what we consider our ability to do, this program has enough flexibility in it that it's not an all-or-nothing thing. It could be possible for us to give particular projects to the FHWA for their oversight. So I don't want you to labor under the assumption that it's all or nothing. This can also be the way we foresee this playing out, and we do have to see the final rulemaking issued by the FHWA, but it would be possible on a project-by-project basis to assume the duties or not assume them.
Say that last part again.
If there were a particular project that we did not want to assume the NEPA powers or authority for, it would be possible, based on our reading of the statutes and our understanding of, based on informal discussions with the FHWA, it would be possible on a project-by-project basis to opt in or opt out of assuming those NEPA duties.
Yeah. Senator Huggins, the language says something to the effect of that the department may assume or the state may assume responsibility for any or all, which we're interpreting to being, we can pick and choose the whole range.
Okay. Senator French?
But just, I think just for clarity's sake, going back to the surrender of immunity, it strikes me that if we assume the duties, we absolutely have to have surrendered immunity. No one's going to let us have the responsibility of making the decision if
right.
we haven't
right.
given up the immunity.
Right.
So the may is, it reads nicely, but it's really not a may. It's a must.
Through the chair, Senator French, you're correct. FHWA would not proceed without the Attorney General we're not sure what the structure of that document would be, but providing some kind of a formal waiver of immunity. And again, that could be project, that could be NEPA-wide, or it could be on a project-by-project basis. That is still open for discussion with FHWA.
And that was my follow-up question. I'm very concerned about the surrender of immunity. I just think that's something that you have to be very, very cautious about. And so it sounds to me like you guys have at least envisioned the idea of passing from time to time on assuming those responsibilities and surrendering immunity, and only accepting those projects that maybe you feel comfortable about or particularly good at or something along those lines.
Through the chair, Senator French, that's correct. We have thought about that, and that's on the table right now.
Thank you.
Well, it sounds like we would almost have a series of memorandums of agreements by project. Is that true? Where project A comes up, and we would have a memorandum agreeing that we would either do it or not do it. The feds would maintain the authority. Is that inaccurate?
Mr. Chairman, I think the structure of the deal could probably take several forms. We could have a master agreement, and then certain agreements, underneath it, a master agreement setting generally our duties, and then agreements on a project-by-project basis if necessary. Part of what we're facing right now is we don't have the final rulemaking yet from FHWA, and until we see that final rulemaking, we're unclear exactly how the program is going to run. What this legislation does is simply provide an authority to continue those discussions with FHWA. It's not itself the adoption of anything.
Right. And the language talks about 270 days to have the regulations. Are we really expecting it to be about a year before we'll have regulations? What? And does the clock start once the regulations are in place, or is the clock already started?
Senator Huggins, the clock started August 10th when the bill was signed into law.
Okay. So we're continuing business as usual.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, I'm not very familiar with this particular process. I see there are some positions, $650,000 it lays out. My experience is that whatever the number of positions that are called for here, that there's a creep over time of additional just based on the nature of the beast, because the task is larger than we might envision. Do you think that's a genuine concern that may have some validity to it, or is it just being overly cautious?
Senator Huggins, to be perfectly honest with you, I think that's a genuine concern. These are CIP receipts, the project pays for these positions, not as though they're general funds, so that is a little bit of a comfort level. My view on this is that if it improves the performance, if it speeds up the process of getting these projects out, it's a worthwhile investment.
If we have multiple states doing this, but just looking at it, critical skills involved here as far as recruitment and somebody recruiting them out from under us 2 years after we recruit them? I don't know. That's my concern, is we have this revolving door of people, and our experience level never goes anyplace. And then hence we get stuck in this cycle of almost right, and we end up delaying what we thought would be an expediting process.
Yes. Senator Huggins, that is also a valid concern, and it's one that we have had for quite a while. We continue to lose people to other agencies, not just environmental analysts, engineers, right-of-way agents. It's a problem that we have, and what we can do is offer them a decent wage, good benefits, and a great place to work.
Right. Now, is it your understanding that this is well-intended legislation by Representative Young that will help Alaska, or is this something that was pushed by Federal Highways people that might be at our expense?
Senator Huggins, I think if you were to ask Federal Highways and get an honest reply, they would not. They would say they don't like this. They want to maintain it. So, I guess more accurately said, this is well-intentioned legislation by Congressman Young and other members of the Transportation Committee.
Okay. Senator Cowdery,
maybe you and I can get a job there.
Oh, this job's.
Sir, you are Bill, is that right?
Yeah.
Bill, won't you pull your seat up here and get your 2 cents in?
Name and title.
You look like you're a linebacker or defensive end or something. Which one of those fits your description?
Senator, my name's Bill Ballard. I'm the statewide environmental coordinator for the department. And I'm the department's lead representative for this pilot.
Give us your pluses and minuses as you see this as with your professional credentials.
Senator, the pluses that I see for this is that it gives the control for project oversight and approval to the department where we can set the priorities. That is the biggest gain for this. It allows us to set the priorities and a consistent set of rules. By being able to set those priorities and consistent set of rules, we should then be able to expedite project approval process.
Yeah. Are you concerned about the liability aspect of it at all in your experience as environmentalist?
Senator, I've been I'm the senior person in the environmental staff person for the department. I've been doing this for nearly 25 years, and I think in that time we've only had the two or three court cases. We are threatened an awful lot, but by and large, our staff does a very good job, and we haven't been challenged except for those few times, and we've prevailed. So that doesn't give me a lot of concern. You want to make sure you do a good job,
right,
and you've covered your bases, but we're not real concerned about the litigation side.
Right. The Whittier Tunnel, there was some litigation involved. The Deputy Commissioner mentioned what time frame and what were the parameters involved, and do you have some rough number of dollars that were at stake?
Senator, I'm not sure. I did a short sabbatical in the private sector, and it was right at that period of time.
Okay.
I think it cost about 3 years for the project. That case went to the Ninth Circuit, and we prevailed in the Ninth Circuit. If I remember correctly, the issue was what is known as Section 4F of the Department of Transportation Act, and whether it applied to the project. And that is one of the most extreme environmental regulations, is meeting the tests of Section 4F. Section 4F applies to parks, recreational areas, wildlife refuges, and historic sites. And in a nutshell, it says that the Secretary of Transportation will not approve a project that affects those resources unless there's no prudent or feasible alternative. It's a very, very stringent test.
Right. Who was our adversary?
It was one of the conservation groups out of Anchorage.
Is that normally the sort of groups that we're up against in these sort of projects?
Yes, sir.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you say we prevailed, was it the state government that was sued or the federal government?
Senator French, it was the federal government, yeah. The project prevailed.
Right. But they made the decisions, and so they were liable for the accounting with respect to those decisions.
Correct.
And just go ahead and finish your answer. I don't mean to cut you off.
Under the Federal Highway regulations, the state transportation agencies are authorized to prepare environmental documents on the behalf of federal highways, with Federal Highways oversight and approval. So we prepared that document and they approved it, and they're the action agency, so they represented that project in federal court.
I mean, just from a person who's not, I mean, you've got 25 years in this business, and I certainly don't. But that almost seems like a wonderful situation where our state workers get to make good state decisions, but the federal government runs to defend them in court and spends federal dollars on federal attorneys backing up state workers. I mean, do you know offhand how much money the federal government spent defending that suit?
Senator, I couldn't even begin to guess that question.
Was it a small suit or a big suit from your perspective?
Senator, it went to the Ninth Circuit, so from that standpoint, it was a big case.
And I guess maybe I'll just ask for someone, either Mr. Putzier or someone who knows, to refer me to the individual who might know what that figure is, because it strikes me that that's exactly the kind of legal expenses that we're putting ourselves on the hook for through the implementation of this proposed legislation.
Senator French, to the chair, we'll get that information for you.
Yeah, but I mean, Senator French brings up a good point. I mean, the fact that it appears to me that our conversation thus far is that the advantages to us is we have some additional authority, but we have responsibility, which gets into the suit business, and the sort of thing that we look for as a benefit is time, potentially, and a little more control in the process, which would give us a shorter time frame. Is there something beyond that on the Richter scale rings that is compelling for us? I trust that Don Young was trying to do the right thing for us. I just don't want us to get caught in a trap that's not intended.
Senator Huggins, I guess I'd reply along the same lines of the benefits to the state for its taking over NPDES primacy. To have it overseen and done by Alaskans allows us to tailor these documents to Alaska.
Right.
I too am concerned about additional cost to the state. I suspect that the defense of a lawsuit, a court case over an environmental document would be paid for out of project funds, federal funds,
right,
like they presently are.
Right. But probably the bottom line, when we look at any given project, let's just say that we were doing the Whittier Tunnel again, that we would hire a consulting firm, that we would have our project responsibility that they would report back to. So we're still going maybe potentially the same kinds of people that would be doing the project. We have control factor. Is that
correct,
accurate?
Sir.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of the things that one of the steps that goes through, actually it's many of the steps in a environmental document, especially in EIS, is it goes through regular reviews for what's called legal sufficiency. Is the document, is the procedure that was used, did it comply with NEPA? Is it legally sufficient? We regularly get those reviews from Fed Highways, and then the document goes out for public review towards the end.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. As I read the paper, and that's my experience with it, and in a few other news accounts, is we take predator control, and some of these environmental organizations suddenly use targeted things to be fund generators for them around the nation.
Yes.
And I would hate to see our state be the big bag holder in potentially deep pockets of. But other than that, it may be well misplaced as far as concerns of that. Other questions? Who else do we have? Debbie, anybody else? John, is there anything else you want to add? I think it's the important thing for us is to get a baseline of kind of where we are in this and develop our own comfort level and revisit the issue with you. And I think most of us, just based on its new, we taking on some responsibility and the liability aspect of it, it can be sobering in worst case scenarios, but probably, as you said, we've only had really two cases where it's come to bear in recent years. Yes, sir, Mr. Putzier.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one more point I'd like to make is that assuming that we were defending a lawsuit and were brought in federal court, then we'd be subject to the Equal Access for Justice Act, EAJA, and the plaintiffs would have to prevail, first of all, and second, the court would have to make a finding that the state's position was not substantially justified, is a jargon. So it's not as if, though, there's an automatic liability that would accrue to the state. The plaintiff suing us would have to go through some hurdles before we'd have to pay for their attorney's fees.
Right. So clearly, when you look at it from the business of liability, your state of nervousness on a scale of 1 to 10 is?
Well,
maybe not.
Mr. Chair, my state of nervousness is only about a 3 because it's not a very high unknown. Primarily, it's talking about procedurally go back and do something over again. The members of this committee have clearly identified that potential attorney fee liability is a consideration, and it has to be weighed against the benefits. And as Mr. McKinnon has pointed out, there's some, I think, substantial benefits that probably outweigh the relative risk of an attorney fee award.
Right. But in the same token, I'm trying to think, the Pebble-Iliamna Bridge, how long has that suit been?
Senator Huggins, I believe that suit was just going to trial 3 years ago when this administration started.
Okay. Well, it sounds like some of the misgivings that I might have are sort of ill-placed, and I don't want to sound any harm, because there are things that we could do more efficiency and have more control over. That's a good thing, because Alaskans would rather do by Alaskans and have additional responsibility. Additional questions?
Senator Huggins, we can never prevent the lawsuits. All we can do is do our best job in preparing the environmental documents and go through the process and the procedure and have the most defensible document.
Okay. Is there anyone else online? Okay. Anyone in the audience that feels compelled to talk about liability of NEPA? Okay. We're adjourned. Thanks.